We've been doing this series of messages on people in the Bible, what they did right, what they did wrong. And I want to continue this series of messages by talking about Joseph. Not Mary's Joseph, but Joseph from the Old Testament Joseph. And the title of the message is Lessons from the Life of Joseph. Could have been Life Lessons from Joseph, or Life Lessons from the Life of Joseph. But anyway, you get the point. The verse that we've been talking about each week in Proverbs, I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. And that's what we're going to continue to do. Look at the things that people do right, and we are going to imitate those things. Look at the things that people did wrong, and we're not going to do those things. We don't have to learn from our own mistakes. You don't have to. You can, but sometimes it's a lot less painful to learn from somebody else's mistakes. So today, we're going to learn some of the things that Joseph did right. If Joseph had one fault in his early years, for those of you that are familiar with the story, it was likely simply youthful pride coupled with a lack of discernment, which is just a fancy way to say maybe he was a little bit oblivious. You know, sometimes just because it's on your mind doesn't necessarily mean you need to say it. And if Joseph was guilty of anything, it may have been that. So people might call this being oblivious. Any men here oblivious? Any oblivious men? All right, okay, just only one of you? Okay, the rest of you who didn't put your hands up? Exactly. Anyway, all right, I'm going to read some scripture from the early years of Joseph in Genesis 37. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending his flocks with his brothers. He brought their father a bad report about them. That means he was a tattletale. The youngest of a lot of brothers. Now Israel, that is Jacob, and Israel is the name, of course, that God gave Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, which, of course, that's going to be a recipe for a problem, but anyway, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Oblivious. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Oblivion. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Well, Joseph, there was a wide-eyedness about him, and he was genuine, lots of energy, lots of excitement and exuberance, much to the annoyance of his brothers and maybe even the slight annoyance of his father. The truth is, we know that these dreams did in fact come true. But what I want to do is look at Joseph as he dealt with some very difficult situations that life handed him and see what we can learn from his example. So let's look at some things that Joseph did right in the middle of everything that happened. We know that Joseph's brothers were so jealous, in fact, that they conspired to put him to death. The oldest brother, Reuben, stopped them, and instead they faked his death and sold him into slavery. And in the middle of being sold into slavery, what we see in Joseph's life, number one, is this. Joseph consistently showed a deep level of integrity and constantly found favor with his masters and superiors as a result. And constantly found favor with his masters and his superiors as a result. One of the things that defines integrity is when you do what is right, even when nobody's paying attention. When you do what is right, when you could get away with doing what is wrong. And maybe nobody would know, except, of course, God. And so we see this played out very clearly in one of Joseph's first job assignments. His first master is Potiphar, an official, a captain of the guard in Egypt, Genesis 39. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. This is quite a thing, quite a situation for Joseph to find himself in. Joseph proved that he could be trusted with anything, from his master's money to even his master's wife, even when she had sinful intentions. You know, we don't know the reasoning behind it, other than she found him attractive, perhaps was involved in some sort of loveless marriage, and decided that she liked Joseph. And if Joseph hadn't had integrity, who would have known? Who would have known? Maybe they'd have been found out, maybe not. But here Joseph proves to Potiphar that he can be trusted. And because of that, everything that Joseph touched, in essence, turned to gold. And as a result, everything that was Potiphar's that Joseph touched was blessed. Potiphar knew he could be trusted. Well, we know that what happens later, he continues to spurn Potiphar's wife's advances. And she finally gets fed up. And one day, as he runs from the house, because she's a little bit more forceful than before, leaving his cloak in her hand, she runs to her husband and says, "Look, Joseph came on to me. See, I have his cloak." Potiphar has him thrown in prison. A number of years ago, there was a movie version made of the life of Joseph, and it was really well done. And in this particular scene, of course, you know, a lot of times when you take the Bible and you put it on a screen, whether it's television or movie, you know, the Bible, it wasn't written by Charles Dickens, and so all the details aren't always in there. This happened, and this happened, and this happened, and you kind of race through the narrative pretty quickly. In the scene where Potiphar has Joseph put into prison, the actor who plays Potiphar does it really well because he realizes his wife isn't to be trusted. And he knows that he's always been able to rely on Joseph. And so he's put in a place of having to take his wife's word for it, or this Hebrew slave. And of course, chooses to put Joseph in prison. One of his own attendants looks at him and says, "You do know that when Joseph says he's not lying, he's not lying." And Potiphar says, "Yes, I know." I think what I liked about that particular version of the story is that it continues to focus on Joseph's high level of integrity and his consistency before the Lord, which we see in the next point. Joseph, in the middle of all this, even when his brothers beat him up, threw him into the well, sold him into slavery, even after the whole mess with Potiphar's wife and he gets back in prison, he never stopped trusting God. And when I say this, there are three parts to this. He never stopped trusting God because, number one, he refused to allow himself to become bitter because of his circumstances. He didn't blame God for his circumstances. And he knew that God was really the only solution to his circumstances. So in spite of everything that went on, he didn't allow himself to be bitter. He didn't blame God. And he realized if he's going to get out of this mess, God's going to be the only one he's going to be able to turn to. Pure and simple. And so Joseph's trust in God, as far as we know, didn't waver. Third thing that he did right, and this is important, this is very important. If you don't get anything, but you get this, and take it with you this week, this will help. Joseph realized that how he responded to his circumstances was far more important and actually had more actual influence on his life than the circumstances themselves. Let me say this again. Joseph realized that how he responded to his circumstances was far more important and had more influence in his life than the circumstances. We blame circumstances. Well, I couldn't help it. I wasn't able to do anything because of this. And we make excuses for ourselves. And even when things are bad, even when things are at their bleakest, we are the ones that choose to respond in a certain way. We are the ones that choose to adopt the attitude that we have. We can't blame anybody else. Well, you made me mad. No, I just chose to become angry very quickly. You can't make me anything. I'm the only one that chooses what kind of attitude I'm going to adopt. I'm the only one that chooses how I respond. I'm the only one that chooses whether or not I'm going to be bitter. I'm the only one that chooses not to blame God. I'm the only one that chooses whether or not to seek God's help. And even in that prison, talk about being trapped. Talk about being someplace you don't deserve to be. We see the same thing happen with the prison warden that happened with Potiphar. Genesis 39. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all of those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was down there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Joseph could have moped in the corner. You know, I don't know, maybe he had a couple days of moping. I probably would have allowed myself at least one day of moping down there, maybe a couple, you know. But how long do we let the pity party last? How long do we allow ourselves to be paralyzed by our own sense of just feeling bad for ourselves? At some point, we've got to stand up and say, all right, this is where I'm at. Where do I go from here? And go to God for some directions. You see, let's look at the fourth point. Joseph understood that God can take those things originally meant for evil and actually cause a good outcome. You know, we've established that we have an enemy. There is an enemy that is at war with us, at war with God's people, and that has much influence in this earth. But when we come to God and seek his face, and we are called according to his purpose, that he is able to take what was meant for our destruction, what was meant for evil, and actually turn it into something good, which is probably one of the biggest miracles that God works. So how did this turn out in the end? Well, in Genesis 41, he finally is brought to Pharaoh because he's had some success in interpreting dreams, and Pharaoh hears of it. So Pharaoh himself, the supreme ruler of Egypt, brings Joseph to him. and says, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. Apparently, that discernment thing kind of got fixed, you know. He didn't have enough sense not to tell his brother the dreams. But as a man grew up into one who had great discernment and wisdom, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or foot in all Egypt. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah, or something like that, and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. So this is a man who was almost killed by his brothers, sold into slavery, who finds himself being second in command, second in charge of the entire nation of Egypt. Later, when he has the opportunity to meet his brothers again, and their assumption is that he probably is dead, this is one of the accounts of their meeting. Of course, this is actually near the end after his father dies, but encapsulates a little bit of Joseph's mindset to his brothers. His brothers then come and throw themselves down before him and say, we are your slaves. Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Through the process of all this, Joseph's wisdom and discernment was instrumental in storing up grain for the 7 years of famine, saving the lives of Egyptians, saving the lives of his brother's family as they came to live with him in Egypt. All because Joseph made decisions in his life to not allow his circumstances to dictate how he would respond. And so fifth, in whatever situation he found himself, Joseph constantly sought after God's wisdom, God's guidance, and direction. And as a result, everyone around him ended up blessed because of this. And we see this with Potiphar, we see this with the prison warden, we see this with Pharaoh, we see this with the entire nation of Egypt, and the fact that he is then able to bring Jacob and his brothers and their families to Egypt to be taken care of during the 7-year famine. There's a lot to process, but I want to end with a video clip that I think encapsulates this up, ties it up. This is a clip of, imagine maybe if this story took place in modern day, and Joseph was working as a janitor or working in the mailroom in a large corporation, but found favor with the ones in charge because he chose to adopt the right kind of attitude during those years of servitude.
You, Joe? Come with me.
This has been our worst quarter in a decade. Productivity, profits, everything's down. What do you think that is? I just want a different point of view.
Well, sir, people aren't happy here. They don't feel valuable. They don't get to make any decisions. They feel like cogs in the machine.
Oh, this will be your office from now on. You report directly to me. And buy yourself some new suits.
Can you imagine the President of the United States pulling someone out of prison, someone you've never heard of, and making him Vice President? That's basically what happened to Joseph. He was plucked out of prison, out of obscurity, and made second in command to Pharaoh, the most powerful man on earth. Through all the seasons of his life, Joseph never lost sight of the dream. He never forgot God's promise. And when the dream was finally fulfilled, he never forgot that it was all God. When Pharaoh asked for his dreams to be explained, Joseph said, "I can't do it." But God will give Pharaoh the answer that he desires. Now, in a position of authority, Joseph had a chance to right all the wrongs that were done to him. But Joseph forgave. He knew that God was with him in the good times and the bad. Though many intended to do him harm, God intended it for good, to save many lives. He could look back without bitterness or resentment, recognizing that the events in his life had built the foundation upon which he now stood.
I think that really sums it up. Let's stand together and pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and the incredible legacy of truth that you've given to us through the lives of flawed yet remarkable individuals. People that you were able to use mightily because of their obedience, because of their tenacity, because of their consistency, because of their desire to seek you at all costs in the face of adversity and in the face of everything that would have torn others down. And I pray, God, that we are able to continue to learn from these examples. When we see the level of integrity and consistency that Joseph showed, realization that we don't have to be bound or ruled by our circumstances, that we're the ones that choose the attitudes that we have. We are the ones that choose to do right or wrong in spite of what's happening to us or around us. But God, we have the opportunity, the privilege, to mold what happens in our lives by our own attitude and by our own choices. God, we thank you for that. Help us not to forget that ever. God, help us not to make excuses for ourselves. Why we do less than our best. Why we aren't able to accomplish that because of these things that happened. God, don't let us off the hook. God, help us to strive for Christ, to keep our eyes on you, to always press forward, forgetting what is behind. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Look at the person next to you. Say, do it. Okay. God bless. Have a great week.